Welcome back to our study of Exodus. We're in chapter 35, and we just finished reading through verse 3. You shall kindle no fire throughout your habitations upon the Sabbath day.
You know, just right then, I just got a revelation on that that I've never known before.
Thank you, Lord.
You can't even kindle a fire on the Sabbath day. When you resting in Jesus, don't you try to kindle a fire on the inside of you. Don't you try to make anything happen. Don't you come up with anything. You let the Spirit of God do the work. You just rest in Him. You don't have to make a thing happen. You understand?
You know, speaking of that, on Tuesday, I'll give y'all a personal experience here. I labored to get into the rest on Tuesday. Romaine and I were teaching upstairs, and before we went up there, boy, I was laboring on this thing because it was a big chapter. And I labored. I had studied and I had done all I know to do. And I was concerned, oh, this is big, Lord, this is big. I don't want to miss you. And I had gotten myself into an absolute tizzy to the point where I'd made myself sick. Just sick. 4 different times sick. Because I was so in a tizzy about this. Laboring to get into the rest. And the second I surrendered to the Lord, He took care of it. The rest was there. And He was so faithful, I didn't have to kindle anything. I didn't have to try to build my own fire. Nothing. All I needed to do was just surrender to the rest and let Him do it. And it turned out all right, didn't it? Better than all right. The Lord, what He does well. Amen. But I had a whole new, speaking of kindling that fire, I had a whole new revelation about laboring to get into the rest. You know what that is? You have to labor to get past your own stinking flesh.
Yeah.
Is what it is. You have labor to get past that junk. Because it's nothing but debris, and sometimes the big chunks of it you have to get past. Climb right over that mess.
Thomas said, while I was musing, meditating, thinking about it, the fire burned.
Yeah.
Not trying to start a fire. I was just thinking about the Lord, thinking about what the Lord's put on the inside. The fire's there, so to speak. But you got to be aware of it. Or you'll try to start one yourself. God's not wanting strange fire. Nadab and Abihu could tell you about that.
Verse 4. And Moses spoke unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, take you from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it, an offering of the Lord, gold and silver and brass and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair and ram skins, dyed red, and badger skins, and shittim wood, and oil for the light, and spices for anointing oil, and for the sweet incense, and onyx stones, and stones to be set for the ephod, and for the breastplate.
So Moses is just obeying God. He's not having a fundraiser. It's real important to understand that. God has shown him what's needed to build this tabernacle and everything pertaining to it. His his position, Moses' position, is to tell the people what's needed. No coercion whatsoever. As a matter of fact, he lists all the materials that are needed. Then he emphasizes those who are willing, who have a heart that's wanting to give to the Lord, not to a project, but to the Lord, then you bring your offering. Now, here's the incredible thing about this. The things that they have, whether it's gold or silver, the brass, the materials and stuff like this, they brought out of Egypt. You remember that?
Yeah.
It said they spoiled Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
Simply by obeying God, when God told Moses, tell the people to ask the Egyptians for these various things. They asked, they gave. We have not because we ask not.
Mm-hmm.
And so God was making provision for them, knowing what was going to transpire down the road. He knows the end from the beginning, you understand? And so they have the resources. But from the message I'm hearing, it doesn't sound like everybody in the nation is willing to give.
Mm.
And so he says those have a willing heart. God loves a what kind of giver? A cheerful giver. One who wants to give to the Lord, not because somebody is trying to put pressure on him. He just wants to give. This is the need. The first church I pastored, when I went in, was in heavy indebtedness. $50 in the bank, and I forgot what the outstanding, $6,000 and some worth of outstanding bills to pay with $50 in the bank. And I went before the Lord. The Lord spoke to me. That's the only reason I was there, because the Lord sent me there. And so I spoke to the Lord. You understand? And I said, I know from the scriptures that fundraising is not biblical. And so I'm not going to try to raise offerings. What do I do? And he said, do what I told Moses to do. Present the need to the people and tell those of a willing heart they can give. That took 30 to 45 seconds to make that presentation. You understand? Just following this principle. Those who have a willing heart, this is the need. Do you know, within a month and a half, we were current. And to this day, I cannot tell you how that happened, because there was no one in that congregation as a person of means. I don't understand how it happened. I don't know how it happened. And in 6 years, it was debt free. Just by following the principle of the Lord. And preachers put themselves under tremendous pressure. And part of their services are just dedicated to raising money. We need this. We need this. I remember riding down the road and listening to, this was years ago, listening to a guy. He said, this is a faith ministry. And if you don't give, we're going to go off the air. So I just said out loud, go off the air. Is it faith or not faith? You follow me? God wants us to have a willing heart. I like to give to the Lord. And it's not just giving money. You know that there's more here than money. There's labor involved in this.
Mm-hmm.
They bring materials, but there's also labor involved. Both men and women. And God's just giving them opportunity. God's not poor. You follow me? Oh, God wants my money. No, God doesn't want your money. As a matter of fact, I'll show you in Haggai that you don't have any. All the silver and gold's His. You need His money. You follow me? Those of a willing heart give. This is what we need. And I don't believe Moses stood there and hammered and hammered and hammered and hammered and hammered. I was in a church service one night. They passed the offering plate five times trying to get a certain amount of money. Such the way God operates. Those of a willing heart give. Now we'll find out later on that He had to stop them from giving. We got too much. I've never heard a preacher say that. You better go on. I might get myself in trouble. You get the message, right?
And every wise-hearted among you shall come and make all that the Lord has commanded.
So what's He do? He invited. Right? He invited those who were skilled in any kind of work that it was going to take. And there's a lot of job descriptions that could be attached to this, okay, that was needed for building the tabernacle and all the things to it. All right. Here's what we need. Anybody that's skillful in this and wants to work, come give you services. Many years ago, you know, church work days were just common. Ever so often they'd have a work day for people in the congregation, men mainly, to come out and do repairs or things that needed to be done around the church. And so you'd always have just a core of people, small core of people, just willing to come out and give, not expecting anything, not getting anything monetarily in return. You understand? I used to enjoy doing that. Just, you feel like you're doing it for the Lord. I couldn't do much, but I could do this. You know, I'm not a lone person or a horticulturist or anything, but I've actually gone to a person's house and trimmed bushes because they needed it. You understand? Just see the need. See the need. And am I qualified to meet that need? Then meet the need. You understand? You qualified to meet the need? Meet the need. I've had people to promise me over the years, you know, they're going to do this, they're going to do that, building maintenance and things like that. And I'm still doing the maintenance. It's amazing how all that works. And yet God gives us the ability. See, here's the thing. It said God put the wisdom in these skilled workers. It's God put the ability in them to do these things. But am I going to use that ability for God, or am I going to prostitute it? And some people, they're not going to do anything unless you pay them. You follow me? I don't see that they got any pay. Who wants to come and do this? Who wants to work? Who wants to give? Invitation. No pressure. You're invited to do this. Okay? No, I'm not soliciting for anything.
The tabernacle, his tent, and his covering, his catches and his boards, his bars, his pillars, and his sockets, the ark and the staves thereof, with the mercy seat and the veil of the covering, the table and his staves and all his vessels, and the showbread, and the candlestick also for the light, and his furniture, and his lamps, and the oil for the light, and the incense altar, and his staves, and the anointing oil, and the sweet incense, and the hanging for the door at the entering in of the tabernacle, the altar of burnt offering, with his brazen grate, his staves, and all his vessels, the laver in his foot, the hangings of the court, his pillars and their sockets, and the hanging for the door of the court, the pins of the tabernacle, and the pins of the court, and their cords, the cloths of service, to do service in the holy place, the holy garments for Aaron the priest, and the garments of his sons to minister in the priest's office.
Now, it's interesting that he goes into detail of all these things. I believe there's a reason for that. It's showing you the different skills that are needed to get this accomplished. It's not just carpenters. But you have to have people that know how to weave, how to embroider, how to sew, how to cast, make these sockets, how to work with gold, how to overlay gold. Have you ever thought about like an altar of shittim wood? Or a table of shittim wood overlaid with gold. There's a skill in all that, you understand? And he goes on and on with this. The cords and all this type of thing. There's a ton of skill involved in building this tabernacle. And God put the wisdom in them to know how to do that. I want you to think about this. If you know how to do things, it's because God gave you the wisdom to know how to do it. I don't care what it is. You say, well, that person was just born with that gift. Yep, God put it in them. I heard a lady one time say, she was a musician, and somebody said something was complimenting about that, you know, appreciate that gift God gave. God didn't give me this gift. I earned this gift through college. Is the essence. I earned it through education. No, you didn't. You developed it. You didn't earn it. There has to be a potential before there can be a development. And the potential is put into you by God. Some people have the potential to play, sing. You understand? Some people have the potential to sew or cook or do whatever. But any of that potential has to be developed. You understand? You start somewhere and you start applying what you know, and then you get a little more knowledge, you apply that, you get a little more, you apply that, and that's how you develop the potential. But I promise you that what you started with was put into you by God. You with me? Whether it's sewing, whether it's cutting wood, embroidering, whatever. Casting, I mean, all these things, it takes ability. You follow me? And everybody in this room has ability. You understand? Everybody has something to offer back to God. I had a man to tell me one time, he told me about eating, he didn't have any gift, didn't he? I said, everybody's got something. He said, I don't have anything. I said, but you've got the ability to lie. Everybody comes with some type of equipment. I didn't say the gift of lying. I said the ability to. Okay. God didn't give him that one, all right. No, so often we sell ourselves short. And that guy turned out to be a real asset because he did have ability. He liked to do things I did not like to do, and he loved doing it. God put that in his heart. And he was an asset to us. And sadly, he passed away. You know, I'm sorry. It turned out to be a very good friend. We all have potential. Let's use it for the Lord. Don't just wait for somebody to coerce. I will not coerce. I'll tell people, I said, God's not a beggar, and I'm not a beggar. I will invite you. I'll give you the opportunity. But I'm not going to beg you. And that's not a pride thing. If your heart's not willing, then God's not interested. Those of a willing heart. God wants us to be willing and appreciative. What did you have that God didn't give you? Think about it. Yeah. And so why not give it back to God? You understand? That doesn't mean you don't have a job to get money. But understand this, that God gives you the ability to do that, so God may be blessing you through that job. But don't think it's the job blessing you. Mm-hmm. It's God using the job to bless you.
Yeah.
And keep it in perspective, okay?
And the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses. And they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing. And they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, and for all his service, and for the holy garment.
So Moses presents the need. After he presents the need, they disband, assembly, they leave, and everybody goes home. He's done what he's supposed to do. Now, they leave, and then when they go there, it says, everyone whose heart was stirred for the Lord and wanted to give brought offerings for the work of the tabernacle. Now, to me, that's saying that not everybody in the nation's heart was stirred. But enough people's heart was stirred to meet the need. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
And so they brought offers to the tabernacle meeting, all for the tabernacle meeting, everything pertaining to it. No lack. No marketing. No begging. Those of willing heart. There's people with willing hearts.
And they came, both men and women, as many as were willing-hearted, and brought bracelets and earrings and rings and tablets, all jewels of gold, and every man that offered an offering of gold unto the Lord.
Well, you know that they've got a willing heart when the women start turning loose of their jewelry, don't you? Yeah, these gold rings and all this. No, their heart was stirred within them.
Yeah.
I've got something that I can give to the Lord. They were given to the Lord. That's so important. People think they give to the church. That's the receptacle. Mm-hmm. But you're given to the Lord. Just like when they brought the offers to the Levites, they were actually giving to the Lord. The means for the Lord getting it was the Levites. That was their inheritance. You remember mm-hmm. that? And so when people stop giving to the Lord, then the receptacle he had suffered. You follow me? But you don't give to pay the bills. You give to the Lord. And the Lord takes what you give and through the leadership distributes that so the bills are paid. You follow me?
Verse 23, and every man with whom was found blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair and red skins of rams and badger skins brought them.
So, you know, some brought this, some brought that. Some had gold they could give. Some had these hides and various things, materials that they could give. You're not trying to give like somebody else. What do you have? You give what you have. Don't be looking at what somebody else is giving. All right, here's something that I have that I can give. So I don't have to walk the floor and wring my hands because I don't have gold to give. I've got something to give. I'm going to give to the Lord. And so they're giving materials to the Lord. Hides to the Lord, okay?
Now, I know Pete just mentioned that, but that prepositional phrase, to the Lord, it matters. You know, for me personally, I didn't have that revelation for the longest time. But once I had the revelation of it's not to an organization, it's not to a building, it's not to a church, it's to the Lord. Every good thing I have comes from Him. Why would I not want to do for the one that I love and that loves me?
You know, in that vein, giving to the Lord, obviously you don't throw money up in heaven, God grabs it. Okay? That's not the way it works.
No.
When you give to the Lord, you're giving it to people.
Yeah.
Right? And like in a church where, you know, you take the tithes off, then they're responsible for using that money for the Lord's work.
Right.
Okay? But there's times that that the Spirit of the Lord will speak to me and millions of other people to give a person a certain amount of money. You are God's means of meeting that person's need.
Mm-hmm.
God uses people to meet the needs of His people.
Mm-hmm.
You with me?
Mm-hmm.
But when you do that, you don't be like the Pharisees, look at me. No, just you say, the Lord wanted you to have this. Not so long ago, a person came by here and they said, I don't even understand this. And that person doesn't come here. But I feel like the Lord has told me to give this to you. It's money. And that you'll know what to do with it. And I said, okay. So I took the money and I just said, all right, you know, you said I'd know what to do with it. And it was just a few days after that, the Lord spoke to me about who to give that money to. And so I just went to that person. Now, the person that gave the money to me didn't know that person. And so they couldn't give that money to that person. You with me? But God knew that he knew me and I knew them. And so I just told that person, I said, I'm going to show you, I just want you to know how much God loves you. God sent a man here to give me money that he said, you'll know what to do with it. And the Lord said to give it to you. So God loves you so much that he'll move on somebody you don't know and you haven't seen to meet your need. But you make sure God's getting the glory. You understand? And I didn't say who the person was, nothing else. But I did go back to the person that gave me. I said, I just want to tell you how this thing worked. And I just said, the Lord directed me, just like you said, the Lord directed me on for that money was to get. Praise the Lord. You don't want credit for it. What's he doing? He's got a heart to God that's wanting to give to God by giving to a person of God. Interesting, isn't it? Pretty incredible. Are we out of time?
That's pretty all right. Good stopping spot.
In that case, that may be a good stopping point. We'll come back to this because there's still more giving of materials involved, okay? I got caught up in it. I thought I might have missed some signals there, and I looked at the clock. Okay. Father, I thank you that you bless us indeed, enlarge our territory. Your hand's with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up your countenance upon us and you give us peace. So, Lord, we invite you to rise up. Let your enemies be scattered. Those who hate you flee before you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.